We have invited Pastor Jerry to bring the word. Pastor Jerry was our pastor we served with for almost 10 years in Wenatchee. So we thought it would be great for you guys to hear and receive the word from him this morning. So Jerry, why don't you come on up and bring us the word?
Thank you, Pastor Tiffany. Well, good morning, everyone. It is a joy to be here today at Generations Church in Moses Lake. Thank you, Pastor Jeff and Pastor Tiffany. Thank you so much for the honor and the invitation to bring the word today. In the 38 years that I pastored in Wenatchee, I don't think I had a couple serve alongside me that had more of a burden to reach the community for Jesus. You are fortunate to have both Pastor Jeff and Pastor Tiffany to equip you to go out and do the work of the ministry. You know, that's what the Bible says the pastors are to do. Not to do the ministry themselves, but to come and motivate you, to equip you. I know there's all sorts of outreach type activities that you do here at Generations. I encourage you to be involved. Ask God to give you that burden to reach your neighbor with the good news of Jesus Christ. Amen? We have enough bad news coming our way. We need the good news, the love, and the hope that the Lord gives us. This morning, I want to talk about that it's always too soon. Always too soon for what, you might ask? Well, it's always too soon for you to give up. It is always too soon for you to give up. I almost entitled this message, Towels and White Flags, because they're universal symbols of things that you know. You know, when two armies are engaged in conflict, one begins waving a white flag. You know what they're doing. They're surrendering. They're giving up the fight. They're admitting defeat. We see in the world of boxing, when one of the fighters is just too tired, too beat up to continue, what does he do? He throws in the towel. That's an expression we use. Throwing in the towel means no more for me. I'm out of here. And at some point, every one of us in this room this morning, everyone who might be watching online, at some point we all have the opportunity to wave the surrender flag or throw in the towel. Sometimes it's in your marriage. It's tough to work through the conflict, to work through the misunderstandings. It's easier sometimes to throw in the towel in relationships. Maybe it's in your business, in your financial goals, maybe in your weight loss ambitions. Come on, can you identify with that? But more importantly, sometimes we're tempted to throw in the towel when it comes to our life of faith. The closer you get to Jesus, the more Satan bombards you with his lies. Because Satan is out to kill, rob, steal, and destroy. But Jesus is here to give you life, to give you strength through the Holy Spirit to endure and to enjoy life abundantly. In our spiritual life, God is always calling us, prompting us to do his work. It's not enough really just to believe in the Lord. We need to be disciples of the Lord. And that means sometimes we have to say no to things that we would rather do, and yes to the things that King Jesus is asking us to do. Maybe it's a ministry that the Lord has been stirring in your heart for years. Maybe it's that opportunity to reach out to your neighbor that you've resisted. Maybe you feel bad that you haven't taken advantage of those opportunities to minister, to start that Bible study, to be involved. But I want you to know, you can make a decision today to say yes to the Lord. Don't quit. Don't give up on your spiritual dreams. Maybe you've always wanted to go on a missions trip. Maybe you've always wanted to start that home Bible study. Maybe you've been seeking the baptism of the Holy Spirit for years. Don't give up. It's always too soon, because you have the power of the Holy Spirit. The scripture is filled with examples, and the one I'm going to use this morning is an example of the Apostle Paul. We're going to be in 2 Corinthians in just a moment if you want to turn there. R.U. Darby is a man that you might or might not heard of. Him and his uncle invested in mining equipment during the gold rush, and they begin digging for gold in Colorado back in the late 1800s. They invested everything that they had in this mining company. They found a promising vein of gold, and they followed it for a while, and then it soon disappeared. They became discouraged. They gave up. They sold all their equipment, and they left Colorado. And you know, the person they sold their equipment to struck it rich just 3 feet from where Darby had given up. 3 feet. He gave up too soon. Of course, we have all sorts of examples. You know, Michael Jordan was cut from his high school basketball team. Now, we think of Michael Jordan now as one of the greatest basketball players of all time. But he saw being cut as a setback to motivate him to go to the NBA. Abraham Lincoln lost eight elections before he was elected the President of the United States. And of course, the king of them all, Walt Disney. Back in 1919, did you know Walt Disney was fired from the Kansas City Star newspaper? Let go. Not because shortage of funds, not because he wasn't willing. This is what his termination notice said. He lacked imagination and has absolutely no good ideas. This is Walt Disney we're talking about. But Walt Disney didn't give up. He had a dream. What's your dream? What do you want to do for Jesus? What is your dream? How do you want to be involved? How do you want to reach out? See, in any good and worthy endeavor, I just want you to know it's too soon to quit. I don't care if it's a financial dream. Maybe it's an educational dream. I knew a lady in her 50s, after her kids were out of the home, went back and finished her college degree. You can do it too with the help of the Lord. Maybe you've always wanted to learn a skill, playing a piano or playing golf. But again, more important is the spiritual things that God has birthed in your heart. And you might have tried and you might be discouraged. But friends, through the power of the Holy Spirit, we have the Holy Spirit within us, and through His power, you can work through that if you don't give up. See, once you've quit, you've eliminated the possibility of winning. You can't win if you don't play. That's why quitting is fatal every time. Don't give up on the brink of your miracle. But you know, there's something just as equally difficult for us as throwing in the towel. And that is when the devil can't get you to quit, he'll do his very best to get you to the point that you want to quit. And there's a difference between wanting to succeed, wanting to do great things for God, wanting to take our cities for the Lord, and getting to the point that we get discouraged and we want to quit, where thoughts of quitting prevent you from giving your all to the Lord. See, friends, if Satan can't destroy your marriage through divorce, listen, he will destroy it with apathy, with hopelessness. If Satan can't get you to quit your job or quit your ministry or quit coming to church, he'll get you to quit caring, to lose your compassion, to quit trying, to listen to all these great opportunities your pastors have given you, and you just walk out and you don't care. Here's something I want you to write down if you're taking notes. If Satan can't defeat you, he'll try to deflate you. If he can't defeat you, he will try to deflate you. And the Bible calls that losing heart. And I'm here to encourage you today. Don't lose heart on those things that God has put into your spirit. This phrase, losing heart, appears about a half a dozen, six or seven times in the New Testament. And every time you read the statement, losing heart, it's being used by the author as an exhortation to keep on keeping on. Keep on keeping on. Don't lose heart. It's always too soon to quit. It's actually too soon to even think about quitting. You know why? Because the Bible tells us in Philippians chapter 1 that he who has begun a good work in your heart will bring it to completion on the day of Jesus Christ. God will complete that which he has given you to do. Now, I know none of us are immune to discouragement. None of us. Sometimes you even need to encourage yourself in the Lord. We all know what it's like to give up. We all know what it's like to want to give up. But there's a way to conquer the will to quit. And it's using the power of the Holy Spirit, the things that we can learn in the scriptures today. It can help you overcome the greatest moments of despair. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, written by the Apostle Paul. Man, if there was any man in the scripture that had a reason to lose heart, it would be Paul. His life pretty much consisted of one overwhelming challenge and then followed by another. We know on five different occasions he was beaten with a whip, receiving 39 lashes each time. Three times he was beaten with rods. Ooh, that's even worse than a whip. Once Paul was pelted with stones to the point that he was just left for dead. It just didn't leave a few little marks on him. He was left for dead. Paul was shipwrecked. Not once or twice, but three times. This poor guy, he was betrayed, abandoned by his closest friends. And on top of that, he was the target of all the religious hypocrites of the day. And the Bible says he was often broke, cold, and hungry. This is the man that's telling us, don't lose heart. Paul's life was not easy. Man, a lesser man would have given up earlier in the game. Like, I'm not sure after my first beating if I'd get back in the arena. You know? After my first shipwreck, I'd say, Lord, I think I'll just stay right here and witness for you. I don't want to get on another boat. But Paul didn't just quit. He refused to even think about quitting. And neither should you. And neither should I. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, I want to begin reading with verse 13. It is written, I believed, therefore I have spoken. With that same spirit of faith, we also believe, and therefore we speak. Because we know that the one who raised the Lord Jesus from the dead will also raise us with Jesus and present us with you in his presence. All this is for your benefit, so that the grace that is reaching more and more people may cause thanksgiving to overflow to the glory of God. Verse 16, that's what I want to key in on today. Therefore, Do not lose heart. Say it with me. Do not lose heart. Say it again. Do not lose heart. Though outwardly we are wasting away, inwardly we are being renewed day by day. For our light and momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternal glory that far outweighs them all. So we fix our eyes not on what is seen, but what is unseen. For what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal. I want to give you three don't lose heart steps. Number one is to come to the point of realizing life is a daily event. Paul says, therefore, we don't lose heart. Outwardly, we might be wasting away. Inwardly, we are being renewed. What does it say? Day by day. It doesn't say Sunday by Sunday, revival by revival. It says day by day, we're being renewed. Because life is a daily event. We sang about it. You can't do anything about yesterday. You have no clue what tomorrow is going to bring. We just know that Jesus is in the present and he will be with us as we walk through life. Now, when I say it's a daily event, it might be a daily challenge for you. It might even be a daily battle for you. I know it seems obvious to say, well, yeah, life's a daily event. But more mind-boggling is the way that sometimes we allow ourselves to believe that it really isn't. How many times do we catch ourselves thinking that someday we'll get to the point that we'll just be on cruise control the rest of the way? It's not going to happen. You'll never get to the point where you can say it'll be smooth sailing from now on. Because we have a real enemy. And that enemy is always going to try to trip you up. It's a daily battle. It's a daily commitment to say, Lord, this is the day that you have made. I will, no matter what happens, rejoice and be glad in it. Lord, today I will daily, today I will die to myself. My pride, my jealousies, my ambitions, my dreams, I die and I'll follow you. It's a daily event. Paul acknowledged that in his first letter to the church in Corinth, 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 31. And he's talking about a turmoil going on in his life. And this is what he says, I face death every day. Yes, just as surely as I boast about you in Christ Jesus. Other translations will say, I die daily. And what he's saying basically is the troubles of life come at us every single day. If your objective is to lose weight, get in better physical shape, you know that's a daily challenge. You can't improve your health by going out for a walk or for working out, you know, just one day a month. It doesn't work that way. I've tried it. The weight stays on. If your objective is to strengthen your marriage, to serve your spouse, to make your husband or your wife feel like they're the most important person on the earth, to die to your own needs and to serve your spouse, you already know that's a daily endeavor. You can't just be to your, you know, nice to your wife two or three times a week and think that's enough. It's every single day. Here's my point. If you want to be the type of person who will never lose heart, and that's the subject of today's message, a person who will never need to despair, a person like Paul, you begin with a reality check and you remind yourself The problems of life will come after me every single day. The temptations of life will come at me. My selfishness will rise up every day, and I've got to deal with them every day. Everybody knows that when we all get to heaven, man, that's going to be a wonderful day. I love that old hymn. What a day of rejoicing that will be when we all get to heaven. Sing and shout the victory. But until then, we remain in the battle. We're in the trenches. We're face to face with the reality of life. Whether that's higher prices and trying to figure out your budget. Whether it's that neighbor that you've been so nice to and they just seem to be so ornery back at you. Whatever it is, it's the way it's going to be because we live daily. We need Jesus daily. Second thing I want to leave with you this morning is to remember the externals. Externals of life are secondary. They'll always be secondary. Isn't that verse 16 says, therefore we don't lose heart, though outwardly we're wasting away. Now let's take a moment and explore what that might mean. What did Paul mean, outwardly we're wasting away? Maybe he's being literal there. Okay? Or maybe it's a metaphor. When he says outwardly we're wasting away, well, he just summarized some of the things that he had been through. And maybe the punishments that his body had taken over the decades, the stripes, the stones, the hungry days, the sleepless nights, he might be saying, I don't know how much more this old body can take. It's wasting away. You know, some of us can relate to that. Even without physical persecution. Boy, this is the year I'm going to turn 70. And I don't feel 70 unless I'm out working in the yard for 2 or 3 hours. And then I think, man, I used to work in the yard for 6 or 7 hours. Now I work an hour and a half and I need a nap. What's the deal? Our bodies get tired, doesn't it? Don't they? Our health often takes a downward turn. Our energy diminishes. We become increasingly aware there's fewer days ahead of us than there are behind us. So Paul could be writing literally, but there's also a good chance he's really writing as a metaphor. Outwardly, we are wasting away. He's not just talking about the physical body. He's talking about every aspect of life in the world he lived in. You know, they were under severe oppression and persecution by the Roman government. You realize that. And we live in a crazy culture ourselves. Out of control situations. We have emotional battles we experience. We have attacks from the enemy. Maybe wasting away outwardly means, wow, what happened to the good old days? That this isn't the way it should be. But even though those things are happening, we can recognize them, but they're always secondary. Because greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. Man, I've used the illustration so often through the years of a football. I mean, you think about a little football, and it's got like 8 300-pound men on that football. But it doesn't deflate. Isn't that interesting? That football can withstand that kind of weight. And when you and I realize we have the power of the Holy Spirit in us, we have something greater than anything the world can throw at us. That's why we don't lose heart. Greater is he that's in us than he that is in the world. So as a metaphor, don't let outward things that you have no control of begin to wear you down. Paul's challenging us to remember that just like the body is not as important as the soul, the external things of life, the physical things of life, are not as important as the spiritual issues. We're in the world. We have to deal with the things of the world. I get that. But remember the words of Jesus, John chapter 17. He said, this world is not my home. Jesus said in John 17, we're not of the world. Someone wrote a song one time that says, this world is not my home. I'm just passing through. We're citizens of heaven. If your hope is in the external things of life, what you earn, what you own, what you achieve, you'll always be susceptible to frequent bouts of discouragement. You're looking at the seen, the temporal. Keep your eyes on things set above, on the eternal. The externals of life are going to be an ever-moving target for us. Up, down, right, left, here today, someplace else tomorrow. Many of the things that we spend our lives pursuing really don't matter in the grand scheme of things. That's why I say the way I want you to apply this lesson today is really in your spiritual walk with the Lord, in your ministry opportunities for the Lord, in what God is telling you that you should be doing. The external things are secondary. It's the intangibles, the invisible things that matter the most. Let's read 1 John chapter 2, beginning with verse 15, where the apostle says, do not love the world or anything in the world. If anyone loves the world, love for the Father is not in them. For everything in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life, comes not from the Father, but from the world. The world and its desires pass away, but whoever does the will of God lives forever. Hallelujah. Brings me to my third and final point. Renewal needs to happen on a daily basis. We talked about life being a daily activity and a daily battle and a daily challenge. We've talked about how we need to be focusing now, not on external things, but on internal, spiritual things. Walking by faith, not by sight. Now, the third thing we have to recognize is this renewal needs to happen on a daily basis, because the battle happens on a daily basis. Again, verse number 16. Therefore, do not lose heart. Though outwardly we are wasting away, yet inwardly we are being renewed day by day. Paul had to renew himself on a daily basis. Someone once criticized a motivational speaker who was pretty popular like back in the 70s and 80s. His name was Zig Ziglar, and he was a motivational speaker. And someone once criticized him, saying that the problem is that motivation simply doesn't last. And Ziglar said, no, it doesn't. Neither does bathing. That's why you need to bathe on a daily basis. See, just as our bodies pick up dirt particles from the air, exhaust fumes, our own perspiration, I mean, our bodies get dirty without us even trying to get dirty. You've got to guard your heart, guard your spirit, because it can pick up some of the dirt that Satan throws our way. Discouragement, doubt, fear. That's why that song that Pastor Tiffany led us in is so important. When you are overcome with fear, you don't have to have a long, formal theological prayer. You can just say the name of Jesus. And if you let Jesus flood your heart and renew you, that fear will have to leave. We need to cleanse our body. We also need to make sure daily we're taking care of our soul. It's not a one day a week. You can't just come on Sunday and think you're good for the week. needs to happen daily. We just have this tendency to run on empty for as long as we can, exhausting every resource till there's nothing left to go. And then all of a sudden we find ourselves in crisis. My dad said, "Jerry, it doesn't cost any more to keep the top half of your gas tank filled than the bottom half." There's a lesson there. If you consistently wait until you're completely exhausted, winded to take action, if you consistently wait till your tank is empty before you do anything, you'll always be on the verge of emotional exhaustion, which leads to despair, which causes one to lose heart. So I want to challenge you today and challenge myself to just embrace this reality. Commit like the Apostle Paul to being inwardly renewed on a day-to-day basis. I want to leave you just two simple ways of doing that. This is not new. Many of you have heard this, but it's good for us to be reminded. Paul needed to renew his mind, and he needed to renew his spirit. You need every day, sometimes throughout the day, to renew your mind and renew your spirit. Now, Paul talked about renewing your mind in the book of Ephesians, chapter 4, verse 23, where he says to be made new in the attitude of your mind. James talks about our mind being like a seed bed. It all starts up here. Before you do a good deed or before you yield to temptation, it starts in your mind. That's why you can't let those negative thoughts, those sinful thoughts, those thoughts to give up, you can't let those dwell in your mind. My grandpa Morgan taught my mom, who taught me, you can't prevent the birds flying over your head, but you can stop them from making a nest in your hair. You're not always going to be able to stop the negative thoughts, but you don't have to let them take up free rent in your mind. You don't have to dwell on them. And that's what Paul's talking about here, renewing our mind daily. It means to remind, R-E-apostrophe-mind, remind. Remind yourself on a daily basis. God didn't create you for the purpose of, you know, pursuing accolades or possessions. He created you to be like Jesus, to be conformed to the image of Jesus. Romans tells us all things work together for good for those who love God and called according to his purpose, that we might be conformed into the likeness of Jesus. To do that, we need to renew our mind. Take charge, friends, of what you see. Take charge of what you hear. Take charge of what you say. Those are your responsibilities. You can quit staring at your phone if you want. You don't have to read every toxic, negative news article that comes out. You don't have to binge on Netflix. You can stop listening to music that doesn't build you up. You can refuse to participate in conversations that tear others down. There's been more than one time that I've been involved in a group discussion that has gone down a way that I wasn't comfortable with. I had no need to rebuke them, but I had a personal need just to slip off. I didn't want to hear that stuff. Spend time in the Word. I believe if more of us who follow Christ would spend more time in the Word of God and listening to worship music than we do listening to Fox News, we would do much more for Jesus and the kingdom. Nothing against Fox News. I'm just saying we need to analyze, what are we feeding our mind? Because it's affecting you. Find things that will lift you up, things that will empower you. Make it a point to think only on things that are consistent with what you believe about the goodness of God. Here's the way Paul gives us a checklist, whole different sermon, but here it is. Philippians chapter 4, verse 8. Here's our checklist. Whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about those things. You can train your mind not to think about all the political stuff going on. You can train your mind to not think about all the negative stuff that's going on. We need to renew our mind. And second, my second point here is that daily we need to renew our spirit. Renew our spirit by spending time alone with God each day. In the Word, prayer is the way we talk to God, but the Word is the primary way that God talks to us. If you find it hard to read, listen to the Word of God. I do that often. Get out my YouVersion app and just listen to the Word of God. And you might think, is this doing any good? Yes, it is. You might not know it at the time, but God's Word is penetrating your spirit. It's going to give you the strength to say no to ungodliness and yes to righteousness. Your time alone with God also includes moments of just quiet reflection. The Old Testament word for that is meditation. It's not a complicated process. You take a few minutes just to sit in silence, saying nothing, just focusing on God. I really believe that sometimes God just wants to hang out with us. Just be together. I'm sure you have friends or maybe your spouse. Sometimes, you don't have to always be talking or listening to the TV. If you're in the same room, you glean strength. You're together. That's what God wants us to do. Thinking about His mercy, thinking about His grace, thinking about His love, thinking about His promises, just thinking about Him. That's why the psalmist wrote, "Be still and know that I am God." We can be so busy that we miss His voice. Sometimes it is in the quietness of the garden that He walks with us and He talks with us and He tells us that we are His own. I encourage you to take time every day to give yourself an emotional lift. A chance to smile, a chance to laugh, a chance to share a good moment with someone close to you. Building one another up in the Lord. As I conclude today, I can't help but think of King David, all the trials that he went through. Wrote a psalm that has become probably the most well-known psalm in the Psalter, and that's Psalm 23. Where he says, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." And he says, "He makes me to lie down in green pastures, and He leads me beside the quiet waters, and He refreshes my soul." That's what some of you need today, to let the Lord lead you to those quiet places, to refresh your soul, that your spirit and your mind might be renewed. And that'll give you the courage. That'll give you the strength to fulfill whatever God's put on your heart. To start that Bible study. to volunteer to teach the children here at Generations Church, to be involved in the youth ministry, to help. God wants to lead you every day to green pastures. He wants to restore you. But the reason is so that you'll be ready to do what He's asking you to do. You won't be discouraged. You won't lose heart. We see it in the life of Jesus. He would preach, He would teach, He would give Himself, He would heal the sick, He was spent. And there were times that people would say, "Jesus, come over here and teach our people." And He'd say, "No, not right now. I need to go up in the mountains and spend time with my Father." If Jesus needed to renew His mind and His spirit in the midst of His life, don't you think that we need to do the same thing? To follow His example? That's why Paul said, never lose heart. And that's my word to you great people here at Generations Church. Never lose heart. You have plenty of reasons maybe to lose heart, because maybe your life's a mess, you're in a never-ending battle. But friends, your hope is not in those things. Your hope is in Jesus, and He's already conquered it all. He's even conquered death. Our hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. Through Him, through the power of His resurrection, through the power of the Holy Spirit, we're renewed every day. But we have to take the initiative. Our mind, our spirit, our heart, and I encourage you to let it happen in your life, because it's always too soon to quit. Don't even think about quitting today. Your walk with the Lord, your ministry dream, don't even think about it. Choose instead to spend some time with the Lord, to renew your mind, your heart, and your spirit. And not just today, but remember daily, every single day. Would you bow your head in a word of prayer as our worship team comes back? Heavenly Father, I thank You that You have given us clear instruction in Your word, and how even though outwardly we might be wasting away, maybe it's physical, maybe it's emotional, maybe it's just the conflict that we find ourselves in living in this country during this time. But God, I thank You that even outwardly we might be wasting away, inwardly we can be renewed through the power of Your Holy Spirit. Father, I believe You've given some of these people in this room today dreams of doing more for You, dreams of being more involved in outreach, dreams of teaching, dreams of being involved in prayer ministry, but they've lost heart. I pray today, Lord, in the name of Jesus, that You will encourage them, that they will do the things that are necessary to renew their mind and to renew their spirit every day, that they will not lose heart. And instead, Lord, that they will say yes to those things that You've asked them to do, and that You will empower them with the Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.